Welcome back to Inside Sports Medicine. Ray Johnston Band, friend of the shows. I can't say he's a local product, but he kind of became famous in the Dallas area.
Yeah, and actually, I was covering the Mavs game on Wednesday. They were taking on the Phoenix Suns, and it was the second game where I got to sit where the media row is right there on courtside, and I looked up at the national anthem during the national anthem, and it was Ray Johnston. He was performing the national anthem, and sitting next to me was the AP writer Skylar Dixon, and he was like, "Do you know his story?" And you know, running this show for the past almost 4 years now, like I was like, "Yeah, I kind of know a little bit about his story." And he was like, "Yeah, it's crazy." I was like, it's cool. I don't know how crazy it is." And he was like, No, it's crazy. Like, go. And then he passed me this article that I read for the first half of the first quarter, and oh my goodness, the man escaped death three times. That is crazy.
I had a tough battle with leukemia, and he was a basketball player, walk on at Alabama, so big time Alabama guy, walk on at Alabama, point guard. Somehow or another. And it's a great story. You need to look up Ray Johnston. He won a roster spot on the Mavs Summer League team. And everybody loved him. Everybody loved him. But there was really not a spot for him on the team during the regular season. And somewhere between Summer League and the regular season, he had leukemia. Was in intensive care for 77 days in a coma. Was in the hospital for 101 days, and then when he came out of it, obviously he couldn't play basketball anymore, he decided to be a country music person, and his career has really taken off, and we play his songs on Inside Sports Medicine. He plays the House of Blues. He plays all over Texas.
He plays
at your get-togethers.
Yeah, our annual event, he comes.
So if you don't know anything about Ray Johnston, look up the Ray Johnston Band and download some of his music. Unbelievable.
Didn't he play at your party in New York?
Remember
that?
We invited him to play at... Oh, this was a great story. So NBA Physicians Association... NBA has a convention, and NBA Physicians Association has a meeting. And our post-meeting party was at the Waldorf Astoria, and I invited Ray Johnston and his band to play for us, and he played in the same room that Frank Sinatra got started in.
Wow.
That was a highlight for him.
And that was a fun party.
That was fun.
The NBA convention, by the way, is the All-Star Weekend.
All-Star, yeah. All right, let's go to the phones. Inside Sports Medicine, story out here, Blumenthal, Ballard, Mayer, lots and lots of doctors in the house, so you'll get really, really good advice. Timothy from Arlington, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, gentlemen. Your show's fantastic and is always a great help. I'm a basketball coach at a small private school. I don't have a trainer that is allowed to help us. We just don't have the expenses for that. And I've got two of my players, and we're having a reoccurring problem with shin splints. And I was wondering if there's anything that I need to be aware of that I can be doing to help them to not exacerbate the injury. We still got about 45 days to get through the entire playoffs, and I just want to make sure that I am not doing anything that would continue to cause this to be a significant issue for them.
Wow. Well, first of all, it's a great question. It's an absolutely great question, and I don't know that I have a really good answer, but I want to kind of describe to folks what shin splints are. It used to be, at least in my mind, one of the greatest misnomers in sports medicine. Any kind of pain below the knee was called shin splints. Well, that's not accurate. Shin splints is a very particular injury that is essentially a form of tendonitis that has to do with a very particular muscle called the posterior tibialis. And it's on the lower part of the tibia, the lower part of the shin, on the big toe side. That's where that muscle originates. And shin splints is essentially a repetitive impact activity where that bone kind of, or that tendon kind of pulls off the bone. It's not dangerous by any stretch, but it is uncomfortable and painful. Having said that, that's also the same spot where people get stress fractures. Stress fractures of the tibia are dangerous, and they look just like shin splints. So one of the greatest dilemmas that we have in the world of sports medicine is, how can you tell the difference when a patient comes in between shin splints and a stress fracture? Because they look the same, they sound the same. One is not dangerous, one is ridiculously dangerous. And I'll tell you right now, I don't know how to answer that question without an X-ray or even an MRI.
I'll answer something you said. You see, timing-wise, you just said I'm 45 days left until your mid-season. That's a whole different thing than asking us, how do I prevent this in the future? There's some studies that look at athletes preseason or early. What can you do as a training regimen to help avoid these? And what they've showed is a few things. A lot of incline running initially to start a season and hard ground running initially to start a season for conditioning leads more to shin splints or this issue. That's been shown in the military, and some football studies have showed that. So early preseason stuff, that was not advisable. Second thing, since it is the posterior tibialis tendon, that's on the inside, like Dr. Soriel said, big toe side. The only thing you really can do at this point is obviously stretching them, icing them. And then the question is whether or not orthotics have any role whatsoever to offload. And what I mean by offload, is there anything that you can do to decrease the pull of that posterior tibial tendon off the back of the shin bone? And so if someone has, I don't know what the best way to describe it, really, really flat feet and feet that kind of point out that don't look real right, getting that foot into a neutral alignment may help offload it with potentially orthotics. Or in your case, since you don't have the athletic trainer, that may be the only thing. There's some taping things that athletic trainers try and do, things that physical therapists try and do to help minimize that. That's about it, because I won't even go into any of the surgical stuff for this, because it's very rare and it's very uncommon that you actually have to have a surgery for this condition.
Yeah, this is not a surgery.
You've done surgery on this?
If you need to, you release the strip of the posterior tibial tendon off the back of the tibia.
Never done that in my entire
life. It's very
career.
Rare. It's described, but extremely rare. Extremely rare.
One more way to charge insurance.
So I guess one of the things I heard you say, Coach, is there's a trend. Maybe it sounds like there's more than one athlete that's suffering from this. Is that right?
Yes, sir. That's correct. But the one girl, the second girl, she has, it's a chronic thing for her.
I see.
And I'm not sure if she doesn't have some type of physical defect.
Yep.
Where she just, after she gets exercise for a period of 30 to 45 days, she has a reoccurring problem, and I just wanted to make sure
that
I wasn't doing anything.
No. That's great awareness, because that's what I was thinking. I was like, well, if there's a trend, because sometimes I will see athletes who will have stress fractures or some type of injury, and like other teammates are getting the same injury. So usually that's when I'm like, well, maybe there's a conditioning thing that needs to be tweaked or changed, or like Dr. Mayer said, when you start the season off, really trying to start low and go slow when it comes to conditioning to try and prevent this, because it is a repetition thing.
It's definitely a repetition thing. I'm going to leave you with this, Timothy. First of all, there's not a good answer for what you asked, unfortunately. But you're kind of obligated, especially if these youngsters are limping. If you see them limping, you're obligated to have someone look at it to make sure it's not a stress fracture. Once I'm comfortable that these young ladies don't have stress fractures, then it's a matter of ice and brace and orthotics, and I mean there are ways to make it tolerable, but
right.
You sure as heck don't want to miss a stress fracture.
Yeah.
Sounds like this girl.
We've had X-rays and MRIs are being analyzed now to make sure that there's not a stress fracture on
Perfect.
The primary
Dude.
Player.
Perfect.
And so hopefully we'll get from that, and then maybe it's just an ice regimen and stretching regimen, then we can manage it.
All right, I'm gonna add one more thing that it's kind of hard to find, but we have them. We use them. I use them a lot. They make neoprene sleeves specifically for the shin. You see a lot of athletes wearing a sleeve on their knees or a sleeve on their ankles, but they also – and I'm not talking leggings. I'm talking about a neoprene sleeve.
It's but leggings hot. Would work, too.
Leggings would work, too. But they're hot and sweaty, and the thought here is that they increase the blood flow.
What about performance tape?
I don't know the performance. You know, KT tape works for
bro science.
Yeah,
bro
anyway,
science.
We need to talk about that again.
Once you get your results back and it's negative, then yeah, you throw the kitchen sink at him.
All right, appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Thank you,
Coach. I don't mean to be as serious as your Achilles injury, but since we're talking about shin splints, I had shin splints in high school.
Yay!
So yeah, it was terrible.
You're
was
a
it
real a, what jock is,
was
now.
It as bad was it as athlete. Bad as people say?
I will tell you, and to tell you, it's even worse than you're about to make fun of me. I was a place kicker, and I got them on my plant leg just from repetitive planting. I only had it on my plant leg because what you do is it's a decelerating contraction of your muscle.
It just
if they had leggings back then,
no, we had
you would have fixed it.
We had no leggings. We had no KTT.
They rubbed Tussin on it.
We didn't even. Can I tell you? We didn't even have ibuprofen back then. Okay? So
speaking of the kicking,
yes.
Chicago Bears kicker wasn't in Today Show yesterday, so he's kind of making the rounds.
Parkey.
Yeah. He was kind of making the rounds on the TV shows, basically saying that, and I'm not sure exactly how to incorporate this into my mind, but he was making the rounds basically saying that football doesn't define me. I just do it as a job, and I missed
you know,
kick.
Whoa, time out. So it's ruled a block.
It was tipped.
What is he doing?
But that came out later.
No. That didn't come out later after he's on the Today Show. They go back. No, that came out pretty quickly after the game.
Yeah, the next day, right?
Yeah. Why is he?
It was the next day. Yeah. Why is he on the TV? Well, to show. Well, first of all, he's a great kid. But
the fact that this is a story in America with the stuff that we deal with in this country to have a kicker who did not miss a kick. It was tipped. Yeah. When you're that far away and you tip a football, the trajectory...
And it misses by 3 inches.
By nothing, the trajectory's off. The kid should not apologize anything.
Whoa. First of all, they didn't know it was a block the night it happened.
Exactly.
Here's what I appreciate about the kid.
He got all kinds of grief.
Here's what I appreciate about the kid, because right after the game, they asked him about it, and they were like, what are you going to do? He was like, look, I'm going to go home. I'm going to see my wife. I'm going to see my dog, and we're going to keep on moving. And I was applauding the kid because I was like, so many people get so down and depressed and so forth. Now,
and that's why
moving
he was
forward,
on
once
show.
It was a block, I can't speak
that's
to that.
That's his character, right? It's but, what you do when people aren't seeing. And they don't know. Nobody knew it was tipped immediately. And what is his reaction? What did his teammates say? They all picked him up, man. We love you, man. Don't worry about
for
it.
For sure.
So you already knew like what that guy's presence was in the locker room and what his teammates already thought about him.
Yeah.
You already knew that.
Yeah.
Now, all the
stuff after once they found the block, I don't know about all that.
Yeah.
But I like his character they knew it was a block.
Right. It was a character issue, and it was a positive story.
And that's why he was on the Today Show.
And that's why it got picked up.
Yeah. Right.
I thought that was fantastic.
Plus, never mind. I was about to say something funny.
we have to go on a quick break.
What we're going to come back on break with, we got a great question about PRP and the use of PRP for tendonitis and arthritis and our opinions on PRP. And I'm sure this will be a hot topic, so we'll bring that back from the break.
Great tease. 855-787-1033. The sun's out. It's shaping up to be a gorgeous day in North Texas. Don't forget to text us your demographics, how old you are, what you do for a living, where you're listening from. We like to keep in touch with those who are listening to the show and find out where you're listening from. Inside Sports Medicine, all the docs are here today. We are coming right back.